All right, good morning again.
Good morning.
Are we awake? Am I awake? I'm not sure yet. Anyway, what I want to talk about today, I started a couple of weeks ago talking about, a lot of times I hear people say they want to make a change in the world. And if you're going to make a change, there are certain things you have to get, and the courage and brave and all that stuff. And so we talked about that a little bit, about making that difference. And then last Sunday, Al was here, and he's doing what he wanted to do. He, years ago, started the plan of the thing about going out, being a missionary, and going someplace and, you know, making a difference. And as you heard last week, those of you who were here, he's actually doing that now. Amen. He's down there. He's doing it. He's getting it going. He's applying the, you know, Christ principles in his life and in the lives of the people there. And so that's an exciting part because we're involved a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. And Al keeps in touch with some of you by Facebook and all that stuff. And it's really exciting to hear the things. And it was really fun because I got to go out to 135th South and Ethiopia and, you know, pick him up and bring him in last Sunday. And so on the ride in, we had a really good chance to just talk about things and how things are going and so on. And about how much, you know, the people are, they don't know. I mean, we don't understand, I don't think, we can't comprehend what it's like to live in a country where you come in, and like if you walk in here, you'll notice that we have these sitting around on the chairs, right? And the littler, thinner ones of the New Testament. And we encourage you to take them home if you don't have them. That's why we buy it, so you can steal it. And then you can repent later. You know, but you can still keep it, okay? But we want you to take this home. We want you to read it. We want you to get into it. But down there, he was talking about how people who go to the church, the pastor, if somebody stands up and they tell them what they want them to know. But they don't give them this to say, take it home and read it and make sure that what I'm telling you is right. Because the emphasis is on the church organization. Now, I try to put an emphasis on the church too. But in my case, you're the church.
Amen.
You're the church. You're not the organization. And it's your relationship with God that matters, not your relationship with the church. I mean, that's important. Because we live together, we work together, we act together. We're called together in Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, that the church is important because that's you. But it's your relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit that's important. Not your relationship with me. Okay? And so, you know, that's what they do. They control. But one of the things that, you know, we want to know and we have to look at, and we especially in our congregation, because of our community, our family, you know, people think that, you know, we can't have that relationship. Well, one of the things that also happens is that when somebody finds out that you're a Christian, they put a label on you and they put an expectation on you. They put this expectation on you that you are to live a certain classic life, which is true. Okay? And that's called, one of the things is called integrity. That's what I'm talking about today. But they put an expectation on you. God lives in expectancy, not an expectation, because God already knows what you're going to do. So why would God expect anything different? If God already knows what you're going to do, right? But one of the things that is important, if we are going to make a difference in our community, because that's who our target is, we have to live in integrity. What does that mean? Okay, how many of you ever saw the movie Titanic? You saw it. When did the Titanic go down? I forget.
1912.
Okay, 1912 the Titanic went down. Now, one of the things about the Titanic was it was unsinkable because they were using a new technology. Wow. Technology's great, isn't it? So they took and they figured, if we take the hall and we divide it into compartments, if one of those compartments gets damaged, the ship won't go down. Great thinking, right? What was their first mistake? Thinking it was unsinkable. Because when did it sink? On its first voyage. Okay? But what were they doing? If you watch the movie, the people that were on the boat, they got into the fog and stuff like that. They started thinking it was unsinkable, so they did stupid stuff. They acted that way. Okay? Because they acted that way, it sank. Because they, what happened was, not only one, just, not just one compartment got damaged, which threw it into a tailspin. And they figured the water would only go so high, so they only built the compartment so high. And then the water came over to the next one. And then to the next one. Yeah.
They thought that God himself couldn't sink it, so he sank it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah, you know? But see, the thing is, they started acting like they're unsinkable. Don't we do the same thing sometimes? We get in that attitude that we can't be sunk because we've got Jesus on our side. Okay? It doesn't always work. Okay? Integrity. The quality or state of being complete or undivided or incorruptible. Undivided. What that's saying is that we make the mistakes a lot of time of compartmentalizing our lives. I have over here my church life, my social life, my work life, whatever, my friendships. And so we compartmentalize things and we don't realize that they're all connected. But we think they're compartmentalized. And so over here in our church life, you know, we go, we pray, we sing, we dance, we clap our hands, all the right things. We go to Sunday school, all those right things that we do. But we get over here in our work life and, well, we fudge a little bit on this, that, or the other. And then we get into our social life. And we get down to the bar, and sometimes that's a whole different story. But we don't realize that they spill over into each other. Amen. And that when you affect one, you are affecting the other one. And so the other part of that is, though, and the next part of that is people look at us and they watch for it. They watch for it. They watch for that integrity of being, of life. Okay? So why does integrity matter? Well, number one I put on there, it brings glory to and pleases God. In 1 Chronicles 29:18, it says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I see what with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. It brought a glory to God. And it also pleases God. It also pleases God. When we walk in that integrity. Okay? Second, it affects others. In Psalm 78:72, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and skillful hands he led them. And with skillful hands he led them. David led them with what? Integrity of heart. Did David ever mess up? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he had the integrity of heart in here to walk in God. He trusted God with everything he had. You read the Psalms and you'll see David going, you know, he'll get out and he'll throw a pity party. Oh, woe is me, you know. But then in the end, he always gets to the end, and it's always he turns it around. But Lord, I know you do this. I know you bless me. I know you guide me. I know you trust me. I know you're going to take care of the situation. I know that you're going to do that. And so I'm trusting you. He had that integrity of heart. And that's what we need to have too. That integrity of heart. Knowing inside. Because when you have that relationship with God, one of the things that happens is you start walking in God's integrity. But too often we forget about that part of it. Because God's integrity is incomparable. And what does Scripture tell us? That God is love. Well, God can't compromise that. God is grace. God is forgiveness. Do you realize that when you leave here this afternoon and you go out and sin? And Charles is going, me? Sin? What?
Never.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, have you ever heard the term never? A couple, 3 years ago, we were going down to the conference down in Long Beach, and Bevan and I were riding down together, and we were talking about what might take place at the conference. How many of you ever seen people wrestling in the spirit? Well, they end up on the floor. Mm-hmm. Well, we're down there, Gary's, and Bevan's going, that'll never happen to me. First prayer time comes along, and I'm standing here, and I look over, and Bevan's on the floor, and I thought, boy, never doesn't last long. You know, and the thing is, when you leave here today and you go out and sin, because you will, and so will I, we'll tell a little lie. Oh, the shirt looks so nice. You know, you look good in that color. Whatever. You know, and we're gonna do it. The thing about it is, God already knows ahead of time what you're gonna do. Already knows it ahead of time. And if you read Scripture, it tells us that God chose to forgive us before the foundation of the world. So before God created anything, he knew what Pam was going to do this afternoon. And knowing that, decided to create anyway and forgive before creating. So God chose to forgive you before even creating you or anything. That's God's integrity. But sometimes we don't recognize it, do we? We don't recognize it. God's integrity is a blessing to us. Okay? And so we have to know that. And we have to recognize that integrity so that when we do walk out of here, or while we're sitting here, sin. What? How can you sin while you're sitting here in church? You could have evil thoughts about me. Maybe not. Okay? But Proverbs 14:31-32. You insult your master when you exploit the powerless. When you're kind to the poor, you honor God. The evil of bad people leaves them out in the cold. The integrity of good people creates a safe place for living. Are we good people?
Yep.
What?
No.
No. Okay. Ah! We have our moments, but do we have that integrity of heart that David had? Because I can tell you, do I ever mess up? Oh, honey, I mess up all the time. And everybody else does too. But it affects others because people look at you. They look at me all the time, especially me, because I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader.
You are,
Pastor. Yeah, that's a good one. Anyway, but we have to have that integrity because as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, people watch us and they look for what we're doing. The third part is that when I have integrity, it blesses me. Okay? Proverbs 10:9. People with integrity have a firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fail. When you walk in that integrity, it gives you a firmness. When you understand the integrity of God and God's forgiveness and God's love, when you mess up, it doesn't kill you. Because you know that God is love and God is forgiveness. And you also understand that you're going to mess up. And that God knows it. And it doesn't separate you from God.
Amen.
I mean, we do understand that, right? But when we mess up, it's not God that does the separating. It's us. So I got this something against Brandy, so I got my back to her. So it's like, I don't want to see it. But it also makes it so I can't see the love and the compassion and the forgiveness that's there. And we get blocked from that. So how do we live with integrity? Okay. Number one, always speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Mark 12:14. They came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity." That's a compliment. We know you. What does that show? It also shows that these are the people that hate him. These are the people that are going to persecute him. These are the people that are going to put him to death. And they're going to Jesus and they're saying, "We know that you are a man of integrity." And then they turn around and accuse him of blasphemy. And they nail him to a cross. This man that they know has integrity. "We know that you're a man of integrity." Excuse me. Teacher, "We know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now, they were trying to trap him. They flattered him first, but they recognized the qualities. "You're a man of integrity. And you're not affected by what people think about you." Can we say the same? Unfortunately, too often, we say things to try to impress, but we'll get to that in a minute. Okay? So they recognize his integrity. You are a man of integrity. Proverbs 24:26. "An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips." What does that mean? A kiss on, it's better than, like a kiss on the lips. Well, how many of you came in this morning and got a kiss on the lips on the way in? One. Okay. Kisses on the lips are not that common. So they should mean more than just a peck on the cheek. Right? They're also more intimate. And they're more enjoyable. And integrity is the same way. The truth is that way. Proverbs 4:24. "Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth and avoid careless avoid careless banter white lies and gossip." Thank you. Dyslexia cuts in there and it's like, what is that? Okay? But don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. What does Scripture say? You can't have fresh water and salt water coming out of the same spring? Don't talk out of both. Do you know people that do that? Oh, yeah. I mean, they butter you up and stab you in the back at the same time. I'm just saying, you can't do that. You cannot talk out of both sides of your mouth and maintain integrity. It doesn't work. Now, as believers, we're called to a higher accountability, aren't we? We're not to badmouth anybody. That sometimes is really hard, isn't it? Because we're human. And it's easy to gossip and not even know you're doing it. Really easy. Because it's the truth. Well, so what? John has stinky feet. I'm up here by him. He's got it up on the chair so I can get a good whiff of it. Now, if I talk about it, I don't know if they're stinky or not. I can't smell. Let me borrow your shoe. No. You know, but just because it's true if I'm talking about it, doesn't mean it's not gossip, right? So we have to look at our lives and say, okay, rein that in. Rein that in. Now, one of the other problems when you talk about integrity is it can sometimes get into the realm where it starts becoming and looking like legalism. We don't want that because it's not legalistic. Okay? We don't talk out of both sides of our mouth, and we don't have that careless bantering or white lies. What's a white lie?
It's a lie that you think is okay because you're trying not to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah, you're not trying to hurt their feelings, or you're flattering them. That, oh, you look good in that color. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second, I have to stand for what is right. I have to stand for what is right. 2 Corinthians 13:8. Our responsibility is never to oppose the truth, but to stand for the truth at all times. Not be ashamed of it. Not be ashamed that you're a believer. And people say, well, you can't be a Christian, you little homo. You say, oh, yeah? Sorry. I am. You know? So that's our responsibility. James 4:17, whoever knows what is right to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. If we know what's right and we don't do it, for us it's considered sin. So we've got to stand up for what's right in what we're doing. Third, you stay clean. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like a bright light in the world full of crooked and depraved people. Does that always happen? No. David and Bathsheba had a good time. David did a lot of stuff wrong. But again, he had that integrity in his heart. And that's what people remember. And that's what God remembers. What does God say about David? Man after my own heart. Except for the killing of Uriah. Man after my own heart. Psalms 101, 2 and 3. I will lead a life of integrity in my own house. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. Stay clean. And 2 Peter 1:3, God's divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. This power was given to us through knowing Jesus, who called us by his own glory and integrity. Jesus called us by his own glory and his integrity and gives us the power to do it. On our own, we're sunk. On our own, we're sunk. The only strength we have is those times when we come through Jesus. And you know what? You're going to fail. You're going to fail. But the first thing you don't want to do is to beat yourself up. I find myself sometimes going, oh, God, I did it again. Not condemning, just recognizing. I did it again. Now, Scripture tells us we're to confess our sins. Why? Because if I confess my sin, that means that I know what it is. And I'm not pretending I don't. I'm not hiding it. I'm not pretending that I'm perfect, even though I am. No. Okay? But I'm not pretending. I'm not hiding. I'm recognizing it. It's like if I try to put my foot in a size 8 shoe and I wear 10 and a half, I'm going to know it doesn't fit. But there are people that try to do that. They try to be petite or whatever. But, you know, I want to be a ballerina. Yeah, lift me, please. It ain't going to happen. Okay? So how do you maintain your integrity? Okay? One, choose the right kind of friends. In 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." If you get in the ring with a mud wrestler, you're going to get mud on you. If you have a problem with drug addiction and you hang out with people who use drugs, what are you going to do? You're going to fall. Scott and I went to lunch with my sister and her son and his wife. I got to perform their marriage a couple months ago now. And we went out to dinner. Well, the kids are both drug addicts, recovering. And they talked about their life and how for 13 years they were caught in drugs. And when they got around, they'd do really good for a while, but then they'd get around people who were into drugs again, and they'd find themselves right back in the same market. For years. And what did they have to do? They had to change their friends. Because they can't be around those people. How many of you ever smoked and quit? Okay? How often, when you quit smoking, do people offer you a cigarette? Every other, you know? And they give you one. "Hey, you want a cigarette?" "No, thanks, I quit." "What?" Or you get around people that drink if you're having a problem with alcohol. You got to get around those people that are going to be good influences. One of the things that I do when I perform a holy union or wedding, I have a part in there that's called the blessing of the family and the friends. And I have the people's friends stand up and say, "These people are joining together in a holy union. And if you can support them and you can do everything to lift them up and strengthen them in their relationship with each other and help them make this marriage last, I want you to say, 'I will,' right now. If you can't, shut up and don't hurt them." Because those people around you that are the closest, the people that mean the most to you, they're the ones that can hurt you the most. And the wife goes, "You don't know what Robert did to me. Oh, I'm sorry, you know." And you ought to smack him in the mouth. Are they going to build you up or tear you down? And in our relationship with each other, we have to have that integrity that's going to lift them up. Brandy did a really crappy thing to me the other day. Am I going to talk it? I'm just making it up. Brandy's going, "What do I do? I'll think of something, okay?" You know? But am I going to talk about it? Am I going to badmouth her, or, you know, stuff like that? Or am I going to do what Jesus said and lift her up? Because our job, our calling isn't to tear people down. It's to lift them up. It's not God's place to be judgmental and condescending and condemning. God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. Now, does God have a right to? Of course. God created us all. But God chose before the creation of the world to forgive Brandy. It's not my place to condemn. And I have to have the integrity to remember that. That it's not my place to condemn. Because I'm going to make a mistake, probably worse than hers. And that's the way it goes. But I've got to choose the right friends. And it says, do not be misled. That's Titanic thinking. If I've got Titanic thinking, it means that I've compartmentalized my life and I think I can't be sunk. And if I think I can't be sunk, I better put my life jacket on now. Because it's going to happen. Okay? So I got to choose the right friends. Choose those people that are going to lift you up. Now, does that mean you never go around the other people? No, we live in a world full of people. And Scripture tells us that Jesus prayed for the disciples, is, "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but they're going to be in the world, but not of the world." Now, not of the world. Secondly, value integrity more than image. How many of you know people that kind of stretch the truth a little bit to make their image better? And there are actually people out there that really make an image out of being bad. It's like a badge. Okay? But in Proverbs 28:6, it says, "Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. You're better off being poor than rich and have bad ways. Does that mean it's a blessing to be poor? No. Does that mean it's a blessing to be rich? No. Depends on what you make of it. Depends on what you do with it. Third, watch what you watch. Watch what you watch. Luke 11, 34 through 36. "Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it's bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light." Watch what you watch. Now, does that mean the only not to get into porn? No. Watch what you watch. Now, I'm a visual addict. Scott can tell you. He says, "You're the only person I know that will watch commercials with the sound off." I grew up on television. We had 9 kids in the family. We didn't have a lot of money. So when television came out, my dad was excited. So he went out and got a television because he could plop us all on the floor in front of television. And we would watch and watch. And we could afford popcorn because it was cheap. We had a big white container. We'd fill it up. And everybody would get their bowls and we'd sit and watch and watch. Or we'd make fudge because sugar was cheap. Or Divinity because we had eggs. And we'd watch. We'd watch. And even as I grew up, we'd watch television. I moved down to Spring Meadows down here, a singles complex, and I had 2 roommates. We'd sit and watch television because he had a color television. And at home, we only had black and white. And the other night, Scott was watching something on the computer, the John Stewart, whatever it is, the Daily Show, yeah. He was watching that or something along that lines. And sometimes before the segments come on, they play a commercial. And so this commercial comes on. And it was really a cute commercial. It was for insurance. And these 2 guys are walking down the street and there's mayhem going all over the place. And they're looking and here's like a transformer coming down the street. And they're standing there. Everybody's running around in a panic. And they're just standing there kind of watching. And this thing comes along, and there's this really nice, like, Camaro parked in the road, in the driveway. And it goes, boom, and he flattens it. And it's like, there goes Fred's car. And then it looks at the house, and it goes, whack, and it knocks the whole top layer off the house. And it goes, there goes Fred's house. And then it reaches down the side, and it pulls up this recliner with a guy in it, and it goes, oh, there goes Fred. Yeah, and it says, "That thing really doesn't like Fred, does it?" And then, of course, it does a little Allstate thing where it says, you know, car, home, and life, insurance. And then it shows this, like, dark SUV parked in a driveway. And all of a sudden, boom, Fred and the recliner land on top and crush the top in. And the guy goes, "Nice landing." "Yeah, it was, wasn't it?" And that was the end of the commercial. But, you know, it was just fun. Well, I wanted to play it again. But I couldn't find it. And so I got looking for this commercial. And, you know, you can find everything on YouTube, right? So I'm looking for this commercial. Well, you know, one of the bad things about YouTube is when you're looking at something you want to see, what pops up over here? More stuff. Yeah, stuff, you know, stuff. It's not even related. Here I'm looking for this commercial, and what pops up over here? Burning buildings. Like, oh, that's cool. I'm a pyromaniac, so, you know, I burned down the pig pen and the tool shed when I was younger. You know, I burn things up. So I get looking at buildings that are burning. And I thought, oh, wow. Implosions. So I go to implode, you know, and so I watch them blow up all the casinos in Las Vegas. And they've blown up a ton of them, I can tell you. And I saw it from every angle and every degree and all this other stuff. And I watch them. Scott's upstairs. And he comes in. He goes, you realize you've been watching that for 2 hours, don't you? No. 2 hours of blowing up buildings and burning buildings and commercials. Was that a good use of my time? No. But you know what? It started the addiction going. And so the next day, I'm down here and I'm watching earthquakes. How many of you ever watched all the stuff about the Japan earthquake and the tsunami? You watch the shaking buildings and pieces falling and people getting smashed. And then you watch the tsunami come in and then the force of it all, washing the buildings away and the cars away. And then, you know, you get into that and pretty soon again, what's happened? A couple of hours is gone. A couple of hours is gone. Now, is any of it bad? No. Is any of it useful? No. Other than I get to talk about it today. But there's a lot of stuff out there that we can get caught up in that just is a waste of time. I work with a lady at the hospital. I've told you this before. She was in a car wreck and she was literally killed. She had one of those death experiences. They were flying her to the hospital and she died. She was met by family members and they said, it's your choice. You can stay or you can go back. But whichever you choose is yours. Well, she had a 13-year-old daughter, so she decided that she needed to come back. So they resuscitated her. And she was telling us about that. She chose to come back. Years later, she'd left the hospital. She wasn't working there anymore, but she was back, and then she was visiting. She was telling somebody about that, but she was talking about her life, how she had become an internet addict. And she lost her job, and a lot of different things happened because she was addicted to the internet. That wasn't bad stuff. But she told them then, she says, you know, I think about that experience. She says, I'm not sure I made the right choice in coming back. Now, this is internet addiction. It wasn't terrible stuff. You can get addicted to all kinds of stuff. Food, sex, drugs, booze, all kinds of stuff. And some of it's not bad, unless it's too much. How many of you saw the movie with Jumanji? Okay, there's a part in there where the forest is all grown in the house and all this stuff, and it starts to rain, and she goes, oh, a little rain never hurt anybody. And Robin Williams says, yeah, but a lot kills you. A lot kills you. So we got to choose, and we got to watch what we watch. Scripture tells us to be careful how we listen. Luke 8, 16 and 17. No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. We can pretend all we want, but it's going to get brought out into the open. And we can pretend in our lives to do a lot of things, but it's going to affect us. It's going to affect us. Now, I can go back and I can watch earthquakes and tsunamis and car crashes. Oh, yes. That was another one. Different car crashes. Because some of them are fascinating. In one of the car crashes, a motorcycle gets hit by a car and the guy flies around and bounces off the hood and spinning in the air, lands on his feet in the street. I turned around, cusses the person out for hitting him. I thought, you should be dead. But we can get caught up in that. And what does it do? It consumes hours of our lives. Hours. Watching those things. Because they're fascinating. But is there better things I could be doing with my life? Oh yeah, there are. Did God condemn me for it? No. God patted me on the shoulder and says, it's okay, I forgave you a long time ago. And I found myself going, God, I did it again. Yeah, I know. I knew you would. And so that's that thing. God already knows what we're going to do. Do we make a choice to walk in it or not? So are we supposed to have integrity in our lives? Yep. Yeah, because storms are going to come. How are we going to respond in them? How are we going to hold up? Because that's what one of the things of integrity is it holds up. But we can't make the Titanic mistake of thinking we're unsinkable. Because we're not. And we must not compartmentalize our lives so that something's okay over here, but it's not over here. Our church life is here, but this is our outside life, our social life, our bar time, or whatever. If we can't do it here, why can we do it over there? It doesn't work. You can't only be an alcoholic on Thursday, or a drug addict, or a sex addict, or whatever. But we need integrity. If we want to make a difference in the world, we have to have a life of integrity, because people are going to look at you. And if you don't have the life of integrity, it doesn't matter what you say. Because if the walk doesn't match the talk, it's like, yeah, right. Now, again, that doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. We are. But we have the integrity that governs our lives and leads us down the direction we want to go. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your integrity that doesn't change, that never fails. You love us. You care about us. You knew, Lord, you knew everything we were going to blow before we even were created. And you decided clear back then to love us and create us anyway in all of our messes. And you decided to forgive us back then, before we even did anything wrong. And Jesus died for our sins so that we don't have to sweat it. But Lord, help us to recognize those things that are destructive. Help us to not compartmentalize our lives, but to be what we are, open and full of light through the power of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, amen.